Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text today is found recorded in the book of the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. You may be seated for the reading of our text. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. And then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have opened up your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So far our text. Christ Jesus, our ever-living Redeemer, dear Christian friends, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and we wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplar trees we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? These are the opening words of the 137th Psalm, in which the inspired author pours out his soul in grief to the Lord, which he did because when he wrote this psalm, God's people were suffering in exile in Babylon. Some of you may remember from last Sunday's sermon, the part of the history of God's people that I shared, how God had inflicted upon them the big hurt of being deported to a foreign country as a punishment for turning their hearts away from Him, despite His loving efforts to lead them back to Himself. Well, along with the unbelieving inhabitants of Israel who were taken as slaves, there was a believing remnant who still loved the Lord, who also had to suffer along with the others that big hurt. And as they sat along the canals in the land of Babylon, recalling happy times of yesteryear, the joys they had once experienced of worshiping the Lord at His temple, and while their captors were taunting them, sing us some glad songs of Zion, they broke down and cried. psalmist goes on to say, you know, we'd rather be rendered cripples and lose our ability to speak than to sing happy songs of Zion for our captors' entertainment. But today we want to take a look at a very graphic and fantastic vision that God gave to his people there in Babylon at this time through the prophet Ezekiel, by which he perked up their sagging, sorrowing spirits, in which he posed to them the question, can these dry bones live? We'll see how this is a picture that God was presenting of the devastating effects of sin, but also of a life-giving work of the Spirit. So Ezekiel, who penned the words of our text in this big, long book of 48 chapters, he was a priest, and he was one of those believing children of God taken into exile with his fellow countrymen. And it was while he was living among the captives by a river called Kibar that he saw the heavens opened, and he was granted by the Lord the ability to see quite a few visions, including the one in our text, in which he saw himself being taken by the Lord and set down in the middle of a valley that was strewn with human skeletal remains. As far as he could see, bones of people scattered everywhere. One open graveyard, vast and huge, a leg bone over here, an arm bone over here, skull fragments strewn around, rib bones, countless other bone fragments. And something that Ezekiel noted as he looked over all these bones is that they were so dry that even probably a single gust of wind could reduce them to dust. That's pretty dry. God was picturing to Ezekiel by the valley filled with dry bones. He was portraying to them, well, what had happened to the Israelite people on account of their disobedience against the Lord. When the Lord allowed the armies of Nebuchadnezzar to ransack Jerusalem and deport the people as exiles, as slaves, he made them to be like dry bones. And that's how they were feeling. Crushed, defeated, powerless. No chance of ever enjoying life again or lifting our hearts in happy praise to the Lord at his temple. Another thing the Lord was picturing here, he was providing a vivid illustration of the devastating effects of sin on all humankind. That every human being born into this world is dead to God and dead in sin. As Paul reminded the Christians of Ephesus, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And you may also recall the stern warning that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden, that if you disobey my command about the forbidden fruit, you will surely die. And when Adam ate of that fruit, he died. For the wages of sin, death. Might be beneficial here, friends, to review the three types of death that humans are destined to suffer as a result of sin, and would all suffer apart from the Lord's gracious work of salvation that he accomplished for all in his Son. Of course, there's temporal death. Notice how all three kinds involve a separation. This is what death is. Temporal death, the separation of a person's soul from their body. That's what happens when a person dies physically. Their spirit leaves their body, gets separated. There's also spiritual death, the separation of a person from God, which is what happened immediately when Adam disobeyed the Lord. He forfeited in the very instant the close and loving relationship he had enjoyed with the Lord. A chasm wider than the Grand Canyon and deeper than the Royal Gorge, metaphorically speaking, sprang up between them, which is why Adam did something he wouldn't have thought ever of doing when he still enjoyed life with God. He tried hiding in the bushes in shame and guilt. His body was still alive, but he was spiritually dead and would have stayed that way without the Lord's gracious promise of a Savior. So temporal death, spiritual death, and then there's eternal death. That's the separation of a person, soul and body, from God in hell forever, which Jesus described when he said in one of his speeches, "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And that is what God was picturing to Ezekiel in the vision of the dry bones and to his fellow countrymen languishing in captivity, the death that happens to people on account of sin. And they were feeling like dead people, dead to God. Our hopes are dead. We got as much chance of enjoying life again as bones have of putting themselves back together into a living, breathing person and can enjoy once again a loving relationship with God. We see the devastating effects of sin upon our world, don't we? Pretty much every day. Symptoms of it in every sickness that afflicts our bodies, the aging process, every death that occurs, every accident that happens that brings suffering into people's lives, in the violent happenings and political turmoil going on right now in the Middle East, in all the troubles that adversely affect human lives and human relationships. It's like we're living in a valley strewn with dry bones in which, apart from the Lord's gracious working, we would really have reason to be feeling helpless and hopeless. But let's go on to consider the next scene of Ezekiel's vision by which he was shown by the Lord, he and his fellow Jewish exiles, that what appeared to them to be a hopeless situation was anything but hopeless. As he cast his gaze across that valley littered with dry as could be bones, he heard the Lord ask him the question, "Son of man, can these bones live?" "O Lord God, you know," Ezekiel humbly replied. And then the Lord told him to talk to the bones and say, "O dry bones, hear the Lord's word. This is what he says to you. I'm going to cause breath to enter you and you're going to come to life. I'll put tendons on you and bring flesh on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you will live, and then you will know that I am the Lord, Jehovah, God of faithful love and grace." And when Ezekiel said that, all of a sudden, he heard that rattling sound, and he saw the bones start to piece themselves together, tendons and flesh appearing on the bones, skin covering them. They weren't alive yet. So God told Ezekiel to speak to the breath. This is what the Lord says, "Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain that they may live." And when he did this, they all came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast, big, huge army. Here it may be helpful and also interesting to note that the original Hebrew word for breath and spirit are identical. And so we can see how in a picturesque way the Lord was promising to send his spirit on those dead bones and raise the nation of Judah from spiritual death to spiritual life by bringing them back to the promised land, eventually causing Jesus to be born. You see the splendid application this has for us today? the spiritual resurrection God promised to his exiled people in Babylon long ago, he's also worked in us. As we noted earlier, we were all born how? Dead in sin, but the Lord then sent his Spirit to us in the gospel word to raise us from spiritual death to new life in Christ, something that we could not do on our own any more than bones can bring themselves back to life. That's what we confess in the Catechism, right? Third article explanation of Martin Luther. What can you not do by your own reasoning and effort? Believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, nor come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts in the same way that he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, a vast army of blood-bought saints of Christ, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith in which he daily and richly forgives all sins to me and all believers. And on the last day, he'll raise me and all the dead and give to me, all believers in Christ, eternal life. Earlier, we spoke about the telltale signs that we're living in a sin-cursed world that's dead to God and dead in sin, where sin's devastating effects are in evidence all around. We also are blessed to be able to see the effects of the life-giving Spirit of God, his gracious working in human hearts through the words of Scripture. The concert of sacred music that we had opportunity to take in last Thursday here at St. Paul, those of you who were able to be there, presented by the young people of Emmanuel Lutheran Tour Choir. Good example of this. How are they able to sing God's praises with faith-filled hearts so joyfully and make music to the Lord so happily with the horn and the flute and the timpani and the cello and the piano and the organ? What leads you to come here every week to sing the Lord's praise with a happy heart, to make melody in your hearts to him with gladness through the week, perhaps maybe even humming a hymn melody as you're working in the garage or in the kitchen or you're driving down the highway in your car? What enables us to use our time of grace here on earth to serve the Lord with gladness with our various gifts and talents in our life vocation, whether we eat, drink, or whatever we do, striving to do all for the glory of God? Answer? Because he's breathed life, spiritual life into us by his Spirit. And he's at work every day to breathe new life into us through the forgiving grace of Christ, blessing us with the joy of knowing that in Jesus, who endured the death of the cross in our place, not only is there no Grand Canyon or Royal Gorge dividing us and God, there's not even a sliver of a tiny crack that divides us or that will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. Not even death can part us from him. He assures us, I have loved you with an everlasting love, with loving kindness I have drawn you close to me. So we have the hope of living with him, body and soul. That's everlasting life, the opposite of eternal death, forever in heaven's bliss. You know what? The Savior performed arguably the greatest of his miracles, the one we read about, his raising of Mary and Martha's lifeless brother Lazarus, to prove the certainty of his greatest promise, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, even though he dies, shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He was giving to Martha and Mary and to all of us the answer, God's answer to the question that God had posed to Ezekiel in the vision of the dry bones. Can these bones live? Oh, yes. They can, and they will, forever, for my praise and your endless joy. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Spirit free.